Why don't you take your Bibles this morning, open to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. As we continue our study through the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll read verses 7 down to verse number 12. Verses 7 down to verse number 12. And we're going to read it out loud all together. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen as well, but we want to read this together this morning. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 7 down to verse number 12, right? Let's read that together. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would just use your word this morning to speak to hearts. Thank you for the good singing this morning. Lord, just lifting up the name of Jesus and just, Lord, just helping us to think about what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would just work in hearts as only you can. Allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to hearts. Lord, we pray if there may be someone here this morning or watching live stream that may not know Christ as their Savior. We pray that you would help them to realize that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ and nothing else. And Lord, I pray for Christians this morning, Lord, that we would not just come and leave the same way, but you allow your word to speak to our hearts and help it to change us, Lord, to be more like you and live more for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless the service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here, he says in verse number 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, or that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And of course, as we look through here, our theme for our year is taken from this chapter in verse number 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And we'll get to that as we get to the end of the chapter here. But Paul begins, as we looked in verses 1 through 6, he's talking about the gospel and how important it is that we don't hide the gospel. If you remember last week, we looked there specifically in verse number 3. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." We talked about the hidden gospel and how many times as Christians we hide the gospel in our life when we're not willing to be obedient to what God has for us. And it's not affecting us when we hide the gospel. It affects those who do not know Jesus Christ when we hide the gospel. Again, we cannot save anyone. We know that. It's only Jesus Christ that can save. Jesus Christ is the only one, just as the young men just sang, that was willing to die on the cross for our sins and be buried and to rise again the third day. Jesus did that. And Jesus is the only one that can save us. But as a Christian, it's our responsibility to share the gospel. And as we continue here, really this whole chapter here is dealing with the gospel. And he says in verse number 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Again, the treasure there speaking of the gospel. But notice he talks about this vessel. We're going to look at this as we go through this chapter. But the title of the message is "The Vessel." The vessel. Notice first the first thing that he says about the vessel here in verse number 7. Notice the treasure within the vessel. The treasure within the vessel. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So think about this. The earthen vessels here that he's speaking of, Paul is giving an illustration of the vessels that were made of clay. Of course, in the Bible times, when if you had a lamp, very different than what we would think of today, but lamps were much smaller and they had a little wick and you put some oil in, but they were made of clay. Most of the water pots and the water jars and things were made of clay. And many of the things that they had were made of clay. That earthen vessel is what he's talking about, right? And so he's giving this analogy here of the vessel. The vessel is in reference to us, our bodies, right? those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the vessel being our body. And God has made every one of us the way that we are so that we can fulfill a specific purpose for God's work. Every one of us have something specific that God wants to accomplish through our life, right? It's not all the same. It's very different. Every person, God has something different, something specific for that person in their life. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse number 15, when speaking about the Apostle Paul, this is what the Lord says about the Apostle Paul. He says, "For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles." So think about this. As God is speaking to Ananias there, Paul, God says to Ananias, Paul is a chosen vessel, right? His life is a chosen vessel. There's something specific that I have for the Apostle Paul's life. And notice, again, what did he say there? He says that to bear my name before the Gentiles. Paul would be able to take the word of God all the way through Asia Minor and parts of Europe there and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even God says that he's going to be preaching the gospel before kings, right? There was a specific purpose that God had for Paul. And Paul was simply a vessel that was being used for what God wanted to do in his life. There was a specific purpose. And we need to be careful, especially as Christians, that we don't complain about the lack of gifts or abilities that maybe we have compared to other people, right? Or we don't complain and compare ourselves to other people. You know, we can say, well, you know, I'm not like this person. I don't have, you know, I don't know that I could get up there and sing like those young men just did, right? And praise God, yeah, man, teenagers singing for God. Isn't that wonderful? We praise God for that, right? You say, well, I don't have the gifts and abilities of someone else. You know, I couldn't get up and preach a message like Pastor or Pastor Joel or Brother Brian. I couldn't get up and preach, or I couldn't get up and teach like some of the teachers do. I'm not, God must not have a purpose for my life. No, you're wrong, friend. God has a specific purpose. And it may not be to be a preacher like a pastor. It may not be to be a missionary. It may not be to be a Sunday school teacher, but God has a specific purpose for each of our lives. And this is what he's saying. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Again, the treasure here is referring to that what we have received, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what the choir song was about. It's what the young men were singing about. It's what the other songs were singing about, Jesus Christ. Right? His death, his burial, his resurrection is what enables us to have salvation. When someone is able to understand that they are a sinner and that they cannot save themselves, and they're willing to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ to save them, God says, hey, that's the only way a person can be saved. That's that treasure that we have. And I tell you, a treasure is something that's valuable, isn't it? Right? A treasure is something that's valuable. You know, I've always dreamed of going out into a yard, in my yard, and just, you know, I don't know why I'm digging a hole, but I'm digging a hole, and all of a sudden it goes chunk. No, it's not a rock, okay? It goes chunk, and I like, oh, what is that? And I start digging a little bit more, and I find a box. You never had this dream? Some of you are lying. You're lying, right? You find this box and you're like, oh, wow, there's a box hidden in the ground, right? And you open it up and there's like gold in it, you know? I mean, wouldn't that be like a great day? I mean, that'd be like a pretty amazing day, right? You know, so anybody that wants to come out and dig in my yard and find the gold for me, come on over. You just have to fill the holes when you're done, okay? You know, that'd be awesome, right? I mean, you find a treasure. I mean, you think about, you know, old stories of pirates and things like that. They were always after treasure, you know? He says, we have a treasure in this body. We have something very special, right? Those of us who know Jesus Christ of our Savior, he says, we have a treasure in this earthen vessel, something that no one else has, that the rest of the world doesn't have. It's only those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have a treasure. We have the gospel message. We are able to take that message and we can share it with other people. We can tell them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what happens so many times is we're not really concerned about the treasure within. We're more concerned about what the vessel looks like. We're more concerned about, well, am I as big a vessel as that person? And do I, you know, if anybody ever done like a pottery class? Anybody ever done a pottery class? Some of you don't want to admit it, right? Some of you guys are like, no, I'm not admitting that. I saw a couple ladies' hands raised, right? You ever done a pottery class, you know? I remember my wife did a pottery class, her and her sisters and her mom, they went to this place and they were doing this pottery class and, you know, they had like the mud and everything and you get to pay to play with mud, you know? I'm not sure about that. But you got the mud and everything and they're showing them, they put it on the wheel and they spin it and they try to fashion it and form it and everything like that. And you have this idea in your mind what it's supposed to look like, right? I had this idea of what my wife was supposed to bring back from this pottery class. Why are you laughing? Right. I had this idea, you know, she's going to go and she's going to take this class and, you know, she's going to bring back some type of, you know, Ming vase, you know, or something like this, you know. I mean, I thought this was going to be really, you know, super, you know, it was her first pottery class, so I'll give her the benefit of the doubt of it. But, you know, I thought, you know, and she came back and I'm like, where is it? I want to see what you did. She's like, I didn't even bring it home. I'm like, what? What do you mean you didn't even bring it home? I at least wanted to see. No, she said, you didn't want to see what it looked like. I'm like, no, I really did. I wanted to see what it was. You know, I want to see how amazing this was and everything. She said, it was not good, right? I'm like, did you get your money back? I'm like, no. She's like, but you know, he talks about this earthen vessel. And many times, you know, vessels can look different, right? They can be beautiful. They can just be like a clay pot. They can have design in it. They can be all types of things. And sometimes we're more concerned about, well, I want to be like that vessel. I wish I could be like that person. I wish I could be big like that, or I wish I could be have the design that they have. I wish I had the talent that they had, or I wish I had the ability. Wait a minute, hold on. God made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. You see, it's not about the vessel, it's about what's within the vessel. It's about what we have inside. Right? I mean, it's about what is within. And he says, we have a treasure within this earthen vessel, right? Even the psalmist shows us in Psalms 119, verses 13 through 16, we don't have time to read it, but he says that our very genetic structure, how we are made by God. Each one of us are made by God, and he made us exactly how he wanted us to be. You might say, well, I don't think God made me right. No, no, no. He made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. Why? Because he knows the purpose that he has for you. He knows the purpose that he has for you. He knows exactly what he needs you to be. You know, God knew to make me 5'7". God knew that. Because God knew if he would have made me 6'7", I probably would have been the best basketball player in the world. That was very rude. I cannot believe all of you laughed about that. It was very rude. No, I mean, you know, if I would have been 6'7", if God would have made me 6'7", you know, and it really just perturbs me and bugs me when I see guys that are like 6'6", and they don't even play sports. I'm not going to say any names. But he was up here a minute ago. 6'6". Man, if I would have been 6'7", 6'6", something like that, I mean, man, I probably would have been the best basketball player in the world. So God knew that wasn't his plan for me, so he brought me down a few inches. But you know, I could sit here and complain about, like, why didn't God make me as tall as Shane, or why didn't God give me this person's ability, and why didn't God, wait a minute, hold on. God made me exactly the way that God wanted me to be. God made you exactly the way God wanted you to be. Why? Because he has a specific purpose for your life. Look, I'm just using this as an example. What would have happened if God would have made me 6'7"? Look, I love sports, right? You can ask my wife, you can ask my kids. I love sports, and it's not like a specific sport. I love sports. You know, if somebody's playing basketball, I want to play basketball. If somebody's playing baseball, I want to play baseball. If somebody's playing pickleball, I'll go play pickleball, right? I just love sports, right? But if God would have made me 6'7", would I have still done what God wanted me to do? Or would that maybe have been something that would have caused me to go away from God? Now, again, please understand, I'm not saying if anybody in here is 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", that God's gonna, you know, you're going away from God. But I'm talking about me. Because God knows how much I love sports, and if God would have made me higher, maybe sports would have become a god in my life, right? And so God makes us exactly the way he wants us to be. He gives us the talents and the abilities that he wants us to be. And so we have to understand the treasure that we have is so valuable. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. But do we understand the privilege we have in this? And instead of being concerned about what we look like on the outside and the abilities and the talents that maybe we don't have, maybe we ought to look more on the inside and say, God, what's this treasure you've put on the inside that I can be able to share with other people? You see, we get so concerned about, well, I'm not that person, I'm not that person, I'm not that way. Wait a minute, hold on. No. God made you exactly the way he wants you to be. But here's the thing that we do have to ask about the vessel. Because if a vessel is going to be used, it needs to be clean, it needs to be empty, and it needs to be available. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 20 and 21, he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." God said, look, he makes everybody different, but he wants to use every single person. And it's just like, you know, if you walk into your kitchen, you know, and you're saying, hey, I need a glass of water, right? At least I hope you don't do this, right? If there's a sink that is full of dirty dishes, that's usually not the place you're going to get a cup, right? Usually you're going to go up to the cabinet where the clean ones are, right? You want something clean to drink out of because you don't know what the kids have been putting in those cups, right? I don't know about you, but if you got kids like mine, they bring in all sorts of things. You know, right now we've got, my kids found a little turtle, right? And they've had turtles, they've had, you name it, right? You never know what's been put in a cup in my house, right? But if you ever come over, we'll make sure it's all clean before you come, all right? Not trying to scare you, right? But I mean, they just, you never know. You want something clean, right? By the way, if you want to drink some water, and you find a cup that has half filled with coffee, you're not going to use that cup either, right? You want something that's empty. You want something that you can use. By the way, you also want something that's available. You understand? God desires the same thing in our lives. We are that vessel. You understand? He wants us to be clean. What do you mean clean? It means not spotted by the things of the world, not dirty. Look, I understand we live in the world. I understand we're around the world all the time and at work and in our neighborhoods and, you know, in the grocery store and everything like that, driving down the road. I mean, the world is all around us, but God says, I want you to be clean. I don't want you to be spotted. I don't want you to be dirty with all the things that the world's trying to push. He says, I want you to be clean. I want you to be empty, not full of pride, not full of self. By the way, many times the reason why God can't use us is because we're so full of pride. We're so full of self. Because we're thinking about the other vessel, we're thinking about that person or what we want to do, and we're so full of self that God can't use us, and we're not available. We haven't said, God, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. We've got our plans, we've got our desires, we've got our goals, we've got everything that we want, but we've never said, God, what do you want for me? How do you want to use me? Right? So we've got to make sure as a vessel that we're clean. We got to make sure that we're empty, able to be used by God. We've got to make sure that we're available for God to use, because if not, it's going to be really hard for God to use us the way that he wants to use us. But what we need to focus on is the treasure within, not the vessel. If we are anything, may I say, it is because of the treasure within. If we are anything for God, it is simply because of what God has done. And notice what he says at the end of verse number 7. He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That it may be of God and not of us. Aren't you glad that God's willing to take weak human beings? God is willing to take weak human beings to show that this life-changing power is from God and not from men. We have no power in the gospel. There's no way that we can change anyone's life. We can't save anyone, but we can tell them about the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they were willing to accept it, guess what happened? God's going to change their life. You see, it's not about us, it's about God. And that's what he says. this treasure that is within this earthen vessel, right? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's the treasure within. Do we value the treasure that we have? Do we value and share that with other people? But notice, secondly, there's a guardian without the vessel. There's the treasure within, but there's the guardian without the vessel. Notice what he says in verse number 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Think about these words. Troubled on every side. Perplexed. Persecuted. Cast down. Can I tell you, those words really don't convey hope, do they? That really doesn't convey excitement. Man, I mean, look at this. Troubled means being afflicted. Perplexed, to be completely at a loss. Persecuted means to be even like physically persecuted, to be chased, cast down, being knocked down. I mean, that doesn't really sound like, if you're going to advertise, you say, hey, we need somebody to come and do this job. You're going to be knocked down. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be perplexed. You know, who's going to sign up? Nobody's going to sign up for that. That's not a job we want to have a part in, right? So why would he say, hey, this is what's going to happen, right? He says, we are troubled on every side. We are perplexed, persecuted, cast down. He says, this happens to us. You know, can I say this morning, Jesus never promised that the Christian life would be easy. He never promised the Christian life would be easy. In fact, remember what he said. He said, if we're truly going to be disciples of Jesus, we must be willing to deny ourselves. He said, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You have to be willing to deny yourself, to deny what you want, to deny what you think is right, and say, God, I'm just going to simply follow you. I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to obey you. And you know what the problem is in many of our lives? We don't like that word deny. We don't like when Jesus says that we have to deny ourselves. We feel like we're obligated to blessings and comfort. We feel like, well, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, so now he's obligated to bless me. Now he's obligated to make my life easy. You know, I accepted him, and so now he's just supposed to make everything easy for me. Friend, that's nowhere found in Scripture. It's not there. Now, I'm not saying there won't ever be comfort, but that shouldn't be what we expect. And notice what he says. Watch what he says. He says, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You understand? He says, yes, there's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties that come. Yes, troubles on every side, yet not distressed. In other words, not restricted, not in so much trouble that God can't take care of you. He said, perplexed, to be at a loss, but not in despair, not in a total loss of hope. He says, yes, we can be, there's persecution many times that comes, but he says, not forsaken. He says, we're not abandoned. Cast down, we'll be maybe knocked down a time or two, but he says, but not destroyed. We won't lose. Look, I guarantee you, any person that is saved can go through this and say, man, there's been times when I've been troubled. There's been times I've gone through trials and difficulties. There have been times when I've been at a loss. I've been perplexed. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why am I going to have to go? Why do I have to go through this? You ever been there? Asking God, God, I don't understand. Why am I going through this? Why do I have to endure this? I mean, I'm your child. Why would you let me go through this? We've all been there. Maybe not so much the persecuted aspect as far as being chased and hunted down and imprisoned and things, but we've had people say unkind words to us. We may have experienced a little bit of persecution. Cast down, knocked down, you know, just feeling like there's no hope. And yet, what does he say in all of this? Yes, there's troubles, yet not distressed. Yes, we're perplexed, and sometimes we don't understand, and we might say, God, I don't get what you're doing. You don't think, as you go through the Bible, you don't think there were men and women who were just like, God, I don't get it. You don't think Job was like, God, I don't get it. You don't think Moses was like, God, I don't get it. David, God, I don't get it. Joseph, God, I don't get it. You don't think there was some perplexing, there was some not understanding at all, but yet what does he say? But not in despair. There was not a loss of hope. They still had hope. They still had confidence in God. And this is what he's saying. Yes, there are troubles, but we're not distressed. Yes, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Yes, there might be persecution, but not forsaken. Yes, we might be cast down, but not destroyed. You see, God will permit trials to come into our life. And Paul says, troubled, perplexed, persecuted, and cast down. And even though God permits trials, friend, can I encourage you this morning, never forget that God controls those trials. He controls them and will use those trials for his own glory. He controls them. I'm so comforted whenever I read the book of Job, not in the trials, but whenever Satan came and said, if you'll let me do this, he'll curse you. God says, all right, you can do this, but you cannot go beyond. He said, you can touch his livestock and you can touch everything that he has, but you cannot touch him. You see, even though the trials came, God was still in control. And then when Satan said, well, you know, if you'd let me touch his body, I could get him to curse you, God. And God says, all right, fine. You can touch his body, but you cannot go beyond a certain point. You cannot take his life. Satan touches his body, doesn't take his life, but touches his body. And yet, throughout the whole time, Job never curses God. And God used that trial to bring glory to God. Well, think about it. I mean, still, we're talking, this is almost 4,000 years later that we're still talking about Job and how, yeah, the trials of Job were difficult, but what happened? God used it in his life. And now we're talking about, say, hey, if Job can go through something like that, surely the trial that I'm going through, God can take care of that too. You see, God used it for his glory. You remember the time when the disciples were walking with Jesus on the road and they came by a man that was lame from birth. And they said, Lord, whose fault is it that he's like this? Did he sin? Did parents sin? Why is he like this? And God says, no, he wasn't born like that for any sin. He says, but for the glory of God. God was going to get glory through that man. And friend, do you understand that God wants to get glory through your life? God wants you to be able to bring glory to him in what you do for him. And so no matter what we go through in life, God shows us his power by sustaining us through the hardships that we face. That's why he said, yes, troubled, but not distressed. Yes, perplexed, but not in despair. Yes, persecuted, but not forsaken. Yes, cast down, but not destroyed. He said, yes, there's going to be trials, but God is in control, and he knows there's going to be an opposite to it as well. He's going to use it for his glory if we're willing to trust him, if we're willing to acknowledge him that he's in control, to step out by faith and say, God, I'm just going to trust you. He's the one who's the guardian without the vessel. He's the one that knows how much pressure the vessel can take. God is the one on the outside. He says, hey, you're the vessel and you've got this treasure within. I want you to take that treasure and I want you to share it with other people. He says, I want you to know that I'm the guardian on the outside. Yes, there's trials that are going to come. There's difficulties going to take place. But he said, I want you to know I'm going to be right there with you. He's the one that's guarding. He's the one that's protecting. And no matter what we go through in life, we can know that he's always there. By the way, what did Jesus say in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm not going to forsake you. And many times when we go through trials and difficulties, we think God has forsaken us. We think God has forgotten about us. We think God doesn't care. No, friend, he does. He knows and he cares. And he wants to work through that to bring glory and honor to him. If you'll simply trust him and say, God, it's not about me. It's not about this vessel. It's about the treasure within. It's about the gospel message and letting that be seen so that others can know Jesus Christ. I love what old missionary said. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China. And this is what he said. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on him being with them. Think about that. Let me read it to you one more time. This is what he said. All God's giants, and by the way, when we think of giants, we're thinking of men like, wow, they did amazing things for God, like Hudson Taylor or C.T. Studd or David Livingston or great men like that. But he said, all God's giants have been weak men. See, we have this idea, man, Paul, boy, he was just so, he was a weak man just like you and I. He had problems just like you and I. He had difficulties. He had trials that he went through. Just like you and I do. He said, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God, not because of who they were, not because they thought they were so special. No, because they reckoned on him, God, being with them. He said they were able to do great things for God because they just trusted that God was going to be with them in what God wanted them to do. And God, I don't know what you want to do with this vessel. I don't know how you want to use me, but God, I just want you to know I'm available. And God, I'm going to keep myself empty so that you can fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I'm going to keep myself empty so that you can use me however you want me to be used. God, I'm going to keep myself clean so that you can use me wherever you want me to be used. See, that's what he's talking about. They were just weak men understanding whose they belong to. They belong to God. He says, because of that, God was able to use them to do great things. Aren't you glad that no matter what we go through in life, there's somebody on the outside that's saying, hey, I'm watching over you. I'm taking care of you. I know what you're going through, and I'll make sure that it's not too great for you. You say, but it feels like it's too great. It might feel like that at the time, but can I tell you something? God is right there with you, and he's going to walk with you through it. You just got to trust him. You got to look to him, depend on him. And then let me say the third thing here. Notice the image seen of the vessel. So he's talked about the treasure of the vessel in verse number 7, the treasure that is within. Verse number 8 and 9, he talks about the guardian without the vessel. And we can be thankful that even though we go through problems and trials and difficulties, man, I'm telling you, aren't we thankful that God's right there watching over? But notice the image seen of the vessel. Look in verse number 10. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh us, but life in you. Let me ask you a question as we think about this last point. What is it that people are to see about our vessel? What is it when people on the outside look at us, what are they to see? Well, I'm not talking about, you know, whether somebody's 5'7 or 6'6 or, you know, they have brown hair or blonde hair. That's not what I'm talking about. What are they to see when they look at the vessel? Did you notice both in verse number 10 and in verse number 11, he says the same thing? Did you notice that? In verse number 10 and 11, he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, watch this, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, watch this, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Notice, he says this twice, verse number 10 and verse number 11, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body and in our mortal flesh. He says this is his desire. right? He's given us this treasure in this earthen vessel. And yes, there's going to be troubles, but there is a guardian watching over and protecting us. And we can trust him, and we can walk through it knowing that he's in control. And he says, as we do this, as we recognize the treasure within and we recognize the guardian without, then as other people look at us, at this vessel, guess what they get to see? The life of Jesus. Oh, please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we become Jesus, and that's not what I'm saying. No. We're not Jesus. But his life is being able to be lived through us. As I recognize the treasure that I have within, and I can't keep this treasure to myself, I need to share this treasure with other people. I need to tell other people about Jesus Christ and share the gospel with them. And yes, even through the darkest of valleys and trials, as people see me walk through those, and they see that there is still faith, and they see there's still confidence, they see there's still hope, they see, hey, I'm still trusting God, and I'm recognizing that God's in control, and I'm still praising God even through the darkest times, they're able to say, hey, there's something different about this person here. They look normal human beings, that's it, but there's something different. There's a different life that is being lived through that person, and it's the life of Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus Christ is able to be lived through our life. And again, think about this. He says it in verse number 10. He says it in verse number 11. And if you've heard me preach before, you know, remember, when something is repeated, it means what? It's important. If something's being repeated more than once, it's like a volume control, right? It's like God is turning up the volume. I want to make sure you hear this, right? You know, you're listening to a radio or listening to the TV or something like that, and it's just, you hear it, but you're not picking up everything. And so what do? You turn up the volume, right? He said, I want to make sure you pick up on what I just said. I said it in verse number 10, right? In verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, this is what God desires. He wants the life of Jesus to be made manifest in our body, the life of Jesus to be seen through the way we live. He said that in verse number 10. And then he repeats it again, verse number 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He said, if you didn't get it the first time, I want you to get it the second time. He said, the life of Jesus is to be made manifest in this vessel, in this body, in this flesh. He said, I want you to make sure that you're living for Jesus so that Jesus can be seen. And may I say, this is where the Christian life gets really real. This is where it gets really real. Who's going to be seen in my life? Who's going to be seen? You see, if I'm more concerned about the vessel than I am what's within the vessel, I'm going to be seen. If I'm more concerned about what I'm going through instead of who's going through it with me, I'm going to be seen. And God says, that's not why I saved you. I didn't save you so that you could be seen. God says, I saved you so that Jesus can be seen. That's what he wants. I saved you. I've given you eternal life. I've made you my child. I've given you a home in heaven so that Jesus can be seen in your life. By the way, isn't this the same thing, very similar to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, God says, this is what I want for you, Christian. I have made you the vessel that I want you to be, so that the world can see Jesus through you. Not so they can see you. Look, there's nothing special about this vessel. There's nothing special about your vessel. We're just earthen vessels. We're just earthen vessels. There's nothing special about that little clay pot right there. Nothing special about it. It's just a pot. But what's within is special. And the one who's without guarding that clay vessel is special. and he has something that he wants us to do. He wants us to live our life in such a way that the world would see Jesus. Paul says that we which live, in other words, we're still alive, we have breath in our lungs, our hearts are beating, right? We've got breath in our lungs, our hearts are beating, we're still alive. How many of you, that's you today? Somebody call 911. There's a couple of hands not raised. Okay. All right. No, he says, that's all of it. If we're still alive, right? If we're still living, right? For we which live, that's us. If you're saved this morning, he's talking to you, are always, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now think about this. It doesn't mean we're going to suffer or die, but we should be willing to face that possibility. It doesn't mean we're going to suffer and die, but he says we've got to be willing to leave that up to him. We've got to be willing to leave it up to God. God says, I want your life to be lived in such a way that Jesus is seen through you. Now, where that is, that's up to God. It could be at your workplace. God says, I want you at your workplace to be lived in such a way that Jesus is seen through your life. It could be in your home, in your marriage, with your children. I want you to live in such a way that Jesus is seen in your marriage to your spouse. I want you to live in such a way that Jesus is seen in your life, parents, to your children. Young people, God says, I want you to live in such a way. You, all of you young people, you have friends, you have other teenage friends. God says, I want you, if you're Christians, to live in such a way that Jesus is seen in your life to your friends. By the way, not only to your friends, but it should be to your parents as well and to your other siblings, right? If Jesus is living in us, if we're saved, we have that treasure in earthen vessels, and God says, hey, I want you to live in such a way that even your siblings see Jesus living in you. I want your parents and your grandparents to see Jesus living in you. It's not just for the teenagers, it's for all of us, every one of us that's saved. God says, I want you to live in such a way that wherever you go, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether in your grocery store, wherever it is Jesus being seen in your life? Will you allow Jesus to be seen, or are you going to be seen? Are you going to live in such a way that Jesus can be seen in all that you do, or is it only going to be about you? Everything we do, and in every aspect of our life, should show Jesus. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy, right? Some of you are thinking right now, there's people at work that they just tick me off. Now I'm supposed to show Jesus to them? You know, I've got some family members that I just can't stand being around. I'm supposed to show Jesus to them? Yeah. That person that cut me off, I'll show Jesus to them. Yeah, no, not that way. No. You see, no matter what we're doing, this is what he says, in every aspect of life, in life or in death, whatever we do, God says, the life of Jesus might be, again, look at it yourself. I'm not making it up, am I? He says in verse number 10, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse number 11, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. This is God's word, is it not? God says, this is what I want for you. I want you to think highly of that treasure that you have in the vessel. It's not about the vessel, it's about the treasure that's there. And God says, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you wherever you go. I'm going to be there with you. Yes, there's going to be trials, but don't ever get discouraged. I'm right there with you. You're not going to be in despair. You're not going to be so far gone. I'm going to be right there with you. And all these things that we go through in life, God says, I want you to glorify me in it. I want you to live in such a way that Jesus is seen. Why do we need to press on? Why do we need to send more missionaries and church planters? Why should we be willing even to die for the cause of Christ? Why should we be willing to live every single day that Jesus is seen in our life? Because we have a treasure in this vessel. The treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ that needs to be shared with all of those around us so that they might live. Notice what he says in verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul said, even if it means our death, we're fine with that, because we know you came to know Jesus and you have life. Paul says, whatever it takes, we want to get the life of Jesus, the life-saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we can. He said, we're just a vessel. We're just a pot. But we allow God to use us to bring glory and honor to him. But we allow our lives to be used in such a way that Jesus is seen through our vessel. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. Friend, the Bible's very clear that Jesus is the only way. There's only one way. It's not through a church. It's not through a baptism. It's not through rituals. It's only through Jesus Christ. And friend, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I've ever accepted Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I don't know if I've ever repented and put my faith and trust in him. I don't know if I have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But I would sure like to know how I could have that. I would like to know that. Friend, nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I would like to pray for you this morning. And if that's you, if you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down? Nobody else is looking around. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you this morning. Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm just not sure. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to talk more about it, you can meet me in the lobby. I'd be happy to talk more with you about it. We can make an appointment sometime throughout the week. To know Jesus Christ as your Savior is the most important thing you can know. Christian, what about you? Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're that vessel that he's speaking about. And you have a treasure within. Are you sharing that treasure with others? Are you sharing it with others how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Are you giving up when trials and difficulties come? You're like, hey, it's just not worth it. Hey, don't forget about the guardian. Don't forget about God who's watching over. He's with us every step of the way. And he wants our lives to be lived in such a way that Jesus can be seen through them. What do people see when they look at your life? Who do they see? Do they see you? Or do they see Jesus? Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to desire in our hearts to live for Jesus Christ. Lord, in such a way that others would see you living through us. Lord, they might see our physical bodies, but they would say there's something different about how they live. There's a faith that they have. There's a joy that they have that we don't have, and that we might be able to share Jesus with them. Father, I pray you'd work now in our hearts.